We're going to the book of James for our study tonight. We had a reading a few moments ago, James 1, verse 12, verse 15. I want to read that text again in the New King James Version because I want to get it before your mind. It is the text from where we'll take, you might say, the entirety of our lesson tonight. In James 1, and verse 12, in the New King James Version, it reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Temptation comes to every man, whether he be saint or sinner. Whether he be Christian or one who's never obeyed the gospel, temptation is going to come. Our text, you might say, is the famous text in the New Testament regarding this particular subject matter. It's not directed to alien sinners. It's actually directed to Christians, to saints, brethren in Christ. James 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." James 1 and verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So when he addresses the subject of temptation, he's speaking to Christians, to brethren in Christ Jesus. It is the aim of every Christian to go to heaven, and temptation, when it has finished its course, will keep us out of heaven because it leads to death, spiritual death. So this is a very important subject of our study this evening. I want to ask some questions and make some remarks during this particular lesson to help us through the lesson, to help to understand the subject. First, we simply ask the question, well, what is temptation? What is temptation? Well, the word translated, temptation, in the King James Version as well as in the New King James Version, sometimes does not have reference to temptation to sin. Sometimes the word, though it is translated temptation, especially in the King James and the New King James, American Standard Version as well, sometimes it has reference to a testing or a trial that actually God puts one through to test or prove their faith. As a matter of fact, that's the way the word is used here in James 1 and verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." When you fall into various trials. Various are, you might say, different temptations. Same word in the Greek, but it's the trial or testing that God puts you through to test or prove your faith, to see if you're going to hold up, see if you're going to be approved or pleasing to Him after the trial or after the testing. So sometimes when you see the word test, trial, tempt, or temptation, they all come from the same Greek word. And in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." The temptation there is who endures trials, who endures the testing of God. It's not temptation to sin in this verse. This verse actually goes with the first 11 verses of the book of James. But the word is translated temptation here, and sometimes when we read it in connection with the verses to follow, we think the temptation under consideration is a temptation from Satan to sin. But it's actually a trial or testing. When you read this verse and other translations, English Standard Version, New International Version, New American Standard Bible, it often uses the word trials or testing. So, blessed is the man who endures, who is able to endure, persevere, trials of testing, affliction, adversity, persecution, when he has been approved. That is, when he's passed the test, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we see what temptation is. Sometimes it's a testing or trial that God puts you through to test or prove your faith. But sometimes, and the way it is used in our text under consideration, in verse 13 and 14, it has reference to temptation to sin. "Let no one say when he is tempted," that he's tempted to sin, "that I'm tempted to sin by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone to sin. But each one is tempted to sin when he's drawn away by his own desires or his own lust." So when God is the agent of the temptation, when He's the agent of the trial or the testing, it's for the purpose of proving someone. testing their faith, never for the purpose of causing them to fall, but when Satan is the tempter, when he's the tester, when he's the one that puts you under trial, he is testing you to see if you will fail. As a matter of fact, he wants you to fail. It's like someone said in regard to the bridge that the engineers inspect. The engineers inspect the bridge to see if it's going to pass the test, see if it's going to hold the weight. So they put the bridge through a test, through a proving process. And the engineers hope it's going to pass the test. They're not looking for it to fail. But the enemy that wants to destroy the bridge, when they put the bridge through the test, they're hoping it fails. So the first way of testing is like God testing or proving us, not to cause us to fail, but to improve us, to strengthen us, to build us up. But Satan, when he tempts, when he puts us under trial or temptation, it's to bring about our fall. What are the dangers of temptation? Temptation is dangerous in that it is the thing that actually leads to sin itself. In our text in verse 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. It leads to sin. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. I like the King James Version, by his own lust, because that's what the word desires here is translated as. And that's the word, lust. We're drawn away by our own lust. So the danger in temptation is that it's the very thing which leads to sin. We're drawn away by our own lust and enticed or entrapped. You might say that by our own desires, by our own cravings, by our own longing, by our own lust for that which God forbids us to have, we become entrapped. And then when desire has conceived, that is, when that desire is carried out in action, when that lust is carried out in action, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, when sin is executed, it brings forth death. Amen. Now, temptation is not sin. But yielding and surrendering, giving oneself up to temptation, that's what sin is. We're all going to be tempted. But how we deal with the temptation determines whether we sin or not. If we yield, submit ourselves, and give up to the temptation, the desires, lust, and cravings of the flesh, to do that which God forbids us to do, then we sin. But temptation in and of itself is not sin. Another danger of temptation is the deceitfulness of temptation itself. The very deceitfulness of temptation itself. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemes of the devil, against the craftiness of the devil, against the deceitful plans and plotting against you by the devil, because he is very deceitful and crafty. He lays out strategies to bring about your destruction through temptation. And so, one of the dangers of temptation is the very deceitfulness of it itself because of Satan's influence. Much of the advertisement that we not only hear on the radio, but we observe on television is nothing but the glamorization of sin, the glamorization of temptation. That is, they make it appear so attractive, so appealing. It has been that way for a long time and will continue to be that way. It is simply another way of Satan influencing us, the glamorization of the temptation. Satan uses every scheme and every deceitful plan and plotting and all crafty means to bring about a desire for us to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we have a longing and a craving for something, we see something and it looks, oh, look at that. That I need that. That will make me appear to be wise among men, or that will make me appear to be someone who's liked by others. Our pride gets the best of us and we give in to it. We have to be careful about the dangers of temptation and the scheming of the devil to bring us into sin. I want you to notice, though, in our text, the certainty of temptation. The certainty of temptation. Note in verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Each one or every one or every man is tempted. Doesn't matter who it is. Again, saint or sinner. It's my problem. It's your problem. It's the problem of every man. We will all face the temptation to sin. There's simply no environment that we can put ourselves in where there will not be temptation. You know, the monks of ages past thought if they could hide away in monasteries, there would be less temptation. They must not have read Matthew 4 and in verse 1 and following. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came, that is when Satan came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Here Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. But who's there to tempt him? So don't think, well, if I just put myself in the situation where I'm going to be alone, there's going to be no temptation. No temptation is going to come to all of us, regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in. But there are some circumstances where temptation is going to come more readily than other times. You know, if you have a temptation to partake of strong drink and you have a bottle at home, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to be tempted to partake of it. If you frequent the bars and you have a problem of strong drink, what do you think's going to happen? When you put yourself in that situation, temptation is more likely to come. But regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in, even if you're alone, you're going to be tempted. The point is the certainty of temptation. It's going to come. It is going to come, and it will come to every man. So let's ask then, well, what are the sources of temptation? First, we need to recognize that the temptation for evil doesn't come from God. That's what our text tells us. Verse 13 of James 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. When you're tempted to sin, don't think that God has placed the temptation to sin before you. God has not put that temptation to sin before you. He does not test or prove your faith by tempting you to sin. Now, he might test your faith. He might put you under trial of a affliction, of persecution, of sickness, or sorrow, or something like that to test your faith. But he will not put the sin, or he will not put temptation to sin before you to test your faith. Temptation to sin does not come from God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But where does the temptation come from? What's the source of temptation? The source of temptation, of course, begins with Satan. It begins with the devil. But it comes from within man. That's where the source of temptation is. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, by his own lust, and enticed or entrapped, ensnared. The temptation comes from within. That's where it comes from. As a matter of fact, when Satan tempts you, he doesn't twist your arm to cause you to sin. Satan simply puts an influence. He puts something that appeals to you, before you, that appeals to the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eye, or the pride of life. That's what he puts before you. And he hopes that it will appeal and draw you away from God. be entrapped, be snared by him, give in to the temptation and sin. So it doesn't come from God. The source is from Satan, and it comes from within each one of us. I just mentioned the three avenues of sin. 1 John 2, verse 15 and following. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever, the lust of the flesh. Almost every advertisement that you see on TV today, I don't know about the advertisement, I haven't turned my TV on in so long. Have one. Don't have a problem with people watching TV, but we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to know about new products that come out. We need to know about what's happening in the world, and the only way we can find that out is watch TV, listen to the radio, read the internet. But we need to be aware of the temptation sometimes that's placed before us in regard to the lust of the flesh, the desires and the cravings, longings of flesh of man, regardless of what it is. You know, for some people, one temptation to them is not a temptation to another. Now, if there was an advertisement for ice cream that came up, it'd be a temptation for me because it appeals to the lust of my flesh. I love ice cream. It will make me want to go buy ice cream, but buying ice cream and eating ice cream is not a sin unless I become a glutton, unless I become and lack self-control in my appetites and my eating. It becomes a problem. But our advertisements appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. That is, it makes it appear appealing to us. It makes it beautiful. It makes us something we want to be a part of. And the pride of life, that is the sufficiency of oneself. The sufficiency of oneself, as we read about those this morning in the book of James. They did not think it was important to keep God in their plans. That's the pride of life. Are these not the way that Satan tempted Eve in the garden in Genesis 3 and in verse 1? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, note what he says, you will not surely die. He tells her a lie, and she believes the lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, note this, he appeals to her pride, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he appeals to her pride. Oh, look at me. I'm going to be like God. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Where did this temptation come from? It came from Satan. Again, the source of temptation. But it also came from within her. Satan simply appealed to her pride, appealed to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye to her. She gave in to the temptation and sinned and died spiritually on that day. But not only can temptation come from within, temptation to sin can come from without a person too. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company, evil association, corrupts good habits. Most versions say corrupts good morals, corrupts good character. What does evil association do? What does evil companionship and evil company do? They influence you. They tempt you to sin. They can corrupt good morals, good character. Though you might be a person of good character and good morals, you hang around with the wrong crowd, temptation will come from the outside. It will come from other sources. Amen. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 21, do not be overcome, do not be conquered, do not be subdued by evil, but overcome or conquer or subdue evil with good. We can be overcome. We can be subdued by evil. Temptation can come from without us. It can have a profound impact upon us. It can bring about our spiritual death when we succumb to it. So that brings us to the question, well, how can we overcome temptation? How can we be victorious over temptation? Well, temptation can be overcome by simply not giving the devil the advantage. Not giving the devil the advantage. Remember? Now, we would not do this if we were seeking to play some kind of sport, would we? Would we want to give the opposing team the advantage? If we were going to war with an opposing army, would we want to give them the advantage over us? To be victorious over us? To subdue us? To conquer us? Of course not. But what we do a lot of times is we're not able to overcome temptation because we give the advantage to Satan in bringing about our temptation. That is, we put ourselves in a circumstance where the temptation is likely to happen. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 25, Paul said, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Know this now. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. When you put yourself in a situation, you're going to be tempted. And because of a lack of self-control, you're most likely to give in to the temptation and sin. So what's the answer? Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to prayer and fasting. Come together again so that Satan does not tempt you. The husband and wife stay apart too long without any kind of sexual reunion. What's going to happen? Temptation is going to be put before you. You're going to give Satan the advantage. And so one way to overcome, one way to be victorious over temptation is don't give Satan the advantage. If you have a problem with alcohol, don't purchase it to begin with. Don't bring it home. Don't go to a gathering where it's there. Don't go to a party. Don't go to happy hour. Don't go to the bar. If you have a problem with gambling, stay away from where people gamble. Don't give Satan an advantage. Vice President Pence would not put himself alone with a woman, not even in an elevator. Why? Because he didn't want to give Satan an advantage. When you put yourself alone in a situation, you give Satan an advantage over you. He's your opponent. He's your adversary. He's the one seeking to bring about your destruction, and you just gave him the upper hand. Don't do that. The way to overcome temptation, first and foremost, is don't give Satan the advantage over you. Another way to overcome or be victorious over temptation is simply through preparation. That is, strengthen yourself through the Word of God. Come to have a knowledge of the Word of God to where you can use the Word of God, you might say, to face off temptation. That's what Jesus did. Matthew 4 in verse 1 and following, when he was in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan, did he not use the word of God? You're familiar with this. Matthew 4 in verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, that is, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him up on into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are, that is, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. On each occasion, even in verse 8 and following, he used the word of God. He was strengthened by the word of God. He was able to face the temptation with the word of God. So when temptation comes before you to commit adultery, you know it's contrary to the word. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not bear false witness. Know the word of God. Prepare yourself for a battle against Satan with the word. Another way to overcome temptation, be victorious over temptation, is by watching and praying as well. Watching and praying. That's what Jesus told his apostles in the garden, Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. The word watch there actually means stay awake. Remember, they were sleeping. Stay awake. But metaphorically, it has reference to watchfulness, being on guard, being vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom they may devour. So watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because it's going to come. You need to be vigilant. You need to be on guard. You need to be watchful. You need to be awake, spiritually awake. I'm afraid that many people are spiritually asleep. Amen. They're not watchful. They're not vigilant. They wouldn't recognize temptation if it slapped them in the face. Amen. Temptation is there. It's before us all the time. We need to be watchful and alert and awake and recognize and realize when it comes so that we can be victorious over it. Another way to overcome temptation is simply by a strong resolve or strong determination to do that which is right. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. But I discipline my body, Paul said, and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified or reprobate or I fail the test. I discipline my body. Harsh disciplining is that which is under consideration. Actually, the word itself has reference to the beating underneath the eye, the black and blue. Like during this particular period of time, the wrestlers or the boxers would beat one another into subjection. They would beat them black and blue. That's the word that's used here in translated discipline. I discipline my body. That is, Paul uses harsh discipline. He's very diligent in self-control, lest he should be disqualified or become reprobate, lest he not pass the test. So through strong determination, through disciplining and self-controlling, we can overcome, be victorious over temptation. Another way that temptation can be overcome is simply by fleeing some things and pursuing other things. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 22, Paul told the young evangelist Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. So how do you overcome temptation? Well, you flee youthful lust. Now, as one gets older, he doesn't have the lust, the cravings, and the desires of the flesh that they once had. But Timothy was a young man. Flee means run away from. Metaphorically, it means to escape. Evade, elude fleshful lust. How do you do that? How do you escape fleshly lust? How do you elude fleshly lust? How do you evade fleshly lust? You don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be influenced to have a desire to fulfill those cravings. That's how. And if it need be, you may have to run away from it. But pursue, that is, with earnestness and diligence, pursue, that is, go after, with the intent of obtaining righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So how do you overcome temptation? Evade youthful lust. Elude it. Escape it. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Temptation can also be overcome by fighting when there's no other choice. By fighting. That is, fighting the one who lays the temptation before you. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's the word we just saw in regard to our remarks to Timothy by Paul. Satan will flee from you. He will avoid you. He'll shun you. If you resist him, if you oppose him, if you take a stand against him, if you fight against him, and sometimes you may have to do it verbally, with the word of God. Amen. So temptation can be overcome by fighting against Satan and his influence in your life. Might be the influence of the temptation to be led astray by false doctrine. Oppose Satan. Stand against him. Fight against him with the word of God. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Temptation can be overcome by several ways. One is by fighting. Prepare yourself to fight. Stand opposed to Satan. That's our lesson this evening. People who persevere, though, people who endure, people who hold out in trials and testing of faith, they're blessed. They're highly favored by God because they will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. So when you undergo adversity, trials, afflictions, persecutions, sorrow and sickness and disease and all kinds of trials of life, we never know when those trials have been placed before us by God as a way of testing or proving our faith. But just suppose that every trial you undergo is a trial or testing of your faith by God. Prove yourself to be faithful. You will receive the crown of life when you have done that. People who succumb, though, to the trial of Satan, to the temptation of Satan and sin, bring forth death in their life. When sin is full grown, when it is executed and carried out, it brings about spiritual death. That's what happened to Eve. She could have looked upon that fruit all day. She could have desired to eat it. Gratify the lust of the flesh by the taste of it. She looked upon its beauty, and she could have continued to look upon its beauty as it hung on the tree. But she perhaps was influenced most by the pride of life that would make her wise. So then she took the fruit. She succumbed to the temptation, yielded to it, and died. Temptation itself does not bring about death, But it's the succumbing and yielding and giving in to the temptation, the giving in to the sin that brings about spiritual death. Which will it be for you? A crown of life or one who is spiritually dead come the day of judgment? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, that's your condition now. You can be made alive in Christ Jesus through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. You can put that old man of sin to death in baptism. Arise to walk in newness of life. Have new life in Christ Jesus. If you're a child of God, having done that in times past, have sin in your life, confess that sin, repent of that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song selected.